Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Buffalo from their own end. We'll get to center. And now to the blue line. Darlene all the way in to the net. Score! The captain put his team on his shoulders there with a power play goal. Sabres within one, trailing 4-3.
10 seconds later, after Darlene scored last night, they had the best opportunity to at least be even at four with Pittsburgh. A breakaway effort, great effort by Doan, was denied, and ultimately the Penguins win 5-3 last night. Buffalo falls to 3-2 in the preseason. They'll play same two teams tomorrow in Pittsburgh to close it out. Welcome into Sabres Live with Marty. I'm Brian. Grateful for our first broadcast back on MSG last night. Marty, we forgot to do one significant thing that maybe, but unlikely, resulted in the result last night.
Wow. I do not know what that would be that affected the results.
We did not check our teeth.
We did not check our teeth. Oh, yeah. We always, well, yeah. Although I had already gone to the restroom and brushed my teeth when I had to do like a little makeup adjustment. So I was pretty clear that my teeth were, but see, that's a bad
But you were selfish. You weren't thinking of me.
I know. I was selfish. Very bad teammate of me to say, I don't have to worry about my teeth. And then I don't. But we did have, you know, it's funny because every year we, you know, we start again. And, you know, I forget how our crew and our staff is amazing because that little like dresser thing that my telestrator sit on was right next to me, like usual. The heaters were right there working as usual. And so I found scissors, I found my paper, I had water bottles still left over from last year. So, and the mirror, which we usually check our teeth in, was in there. So that was really good.
Yes. Well, other than that, which is completely irrelevant, what is your biggest story from last night?
My biggest story from last night is obviously the injury. You know, the injuries, I should say, with Luukkonen only lasting 20 minutes. And, you know, quickly the team's PR announced that he would not return with a lower body injury. Kesselring, it's, you know, nagging something, Lindy Ruff said after the game. Played a shift with a minute left in the second period, did not return for the third. So that's the concern. The concern is we all know the preseason is going to be cut down to four preseason games next year because they're adding the two regular season games, excuse me. But it's now. Like, we've got now Power and Byram and Samuelson and Greenway and Kesselring and Luukkonen and Oslin, and it's like, oof, that list, that laundry list is getting long. And I woke up yesterday thinking, can this preseason be over? I would have taken the start of the regular season last night because I don't want to see preseason injuries anymore.
Yeah, but regardless of whether it's four preseason games or six, the same risk exists regardless of the number of games, and that will continue into eternity, assuming that preseason games in all sports lasts that long.
But it made me change my thoughts on Friday. I always thought Friday was going to be the full lineup, right? Friday was going to be, let's go to Pittsburgh. The whole team's going to be there. They're doing some team bonding activities. Like, let's go. Put your full roster on the ice because it's Friday and then you don't play until the next Thursday. Mm-hmm. So that's what I thought. Now I changed my tune. Now I'm like, you know what? Like, can you not travel everybody? Can you put them in bubble wrap and just say, let's practice. Let's focus on practice. Allen Iverson practice and not a game. Let's not focus on the games. Focus on practice. And that's kind of like where I'm at right now.
The long range forecast, or at least a week out from today, shows sunshine and a temperature representative of Tim Schaller's.
High 50s?
59.
That's what I had seen earlier. I wasn't sure if it was 58 or 59 for Tim Schaller, but yes, high 50s. So
59, you know, easy to remember because of the 59 sound, which during Tim's era here, my love for Gaslight Anthem was at a pretty significant level. So it's arguably their greatest album. Anyway.
Well, Pittsburgh's power play yesterday was 66.67%.
Yeah, so it looked good. Like, before Pittsburgh even scored their first goal of the game on the power play, and then they would score later on a delayed penalty, and then they would score later on the power play again. I was like, and I think this exact same thing happened in the preseason game here a year ago when Pittsburgh came in, and there was some back and forth before the Sabres blew them out. Mm-hmm. I was like, you've got a new coach here and none of your regular power players who, you know, for all, like, Pittsburgh's missed 3 years in a row now, and they went through, I feel like a long period of time, maybe it wasn't that long, in the previous season and maybe even early last year where the power play wasn't great. Their power play ended up being very good last season in Pittsburgh. And I was super impressed by the guys who were afforded that opportunity on Pittsburgh last night as far as their puck movement was concerned. And you and I talked briefly off air after the game about that, where do you tip your cap to the opposition having a good night on the power play, or because we hear from the Sabre players and we hear from the Sabre coach and that's our fixation, like, are you just more echoing the sentiments of Lindy Ruff after last night?
Yeah. I'm more echoing the sentiment of Lindy Ruff that there was some bad decisions, bad positioning, bad reads. It felt like Pittsburgh could move the puck, have the one-timers wide open. We saw some great block shots, but block shots means usually you're out of position. You got to recover to get in a position and desperately try to get in the block shots. So if the front net defenseman leaving the front of the net, allowing somebody to walk right in. Mm-hmm. That was Tomasino for the first goal, you know, from the guy back door. The same thing on the second power play goal. To me, this was, and maybe a bit of a light bulb will go off, and because they've been working on the penalty kill, they've been working at putting pressure and being quick to recognize where you have to be. Mm-hmm. They were slow to recognize what was going on yesterday in the game. So you can practice all you want, and you can look really good in practice. You're going to have to start doing it in the games. Mm-hmm. So last year, the Sabres were 23rd. In penalty kill at 76%. Mm-hmm. The year before, they were almost at 80% Duffer, 79.8, and that was 13th.
Right.
But in the last 6 years, that was the only time they were inside the top 20 on the penalty kill.
But as you say, not even over 80%.
Not even 80%. The last time they were 80% was 2018, 2019,
right,
where they were 80.9, and that was 12th in the league.
Yeah. It's funny because when we talk about those numbers specifically, it is, I think, very much less about where you rank league-wide. It's about having an acceptable standard, or at least a base standard, and whether you're splitting hairs between 80% and 79.5, I guess is kind of ridiculous, but we just, I think that's kind of where you start, right? And where
it was,
you hope.
15 teams over 79% last year, Duffer. Yeah. So if you say 79 or 80, okay, so there was only 11 teams over 80, but there was 15 over 79. So let's do 79 as a bar, right? You mm-hmm. say got to be over 79. Well, over the last 7 years, only twice have the Sabres been over 79% on the penalty kill. Like, that has to be better. And mm-hmm. it comes down to defending, and it comes down to not being down 1-0, not having to have Norris score right away after, not being down, you know, on the third goal. Like, that's what it comes down to.
So there are many ways to measure this, and maybe it doesn't need to be dissected to this level after a preseason game, but if you are following storylines, it clearly became one last night that they didn't win the special teams battle. That's why we're talking about it. But do you remember what I asked you after the game as it pertained to players in these situations for Buffalo and what you would like to see? Because obviously they're without a lot of defensemen now, including Kesselring in the third period.
Yeah.
And my question to you was, well, who should be the Sabres' go-to pair defensively on the penalty kill? And like last year, for example, the two highest minutes guys, shorthanded time on ice per game, Matias Samuelsson at 247 and Connor Clifton at 245. Yeah. Now, you can quickly, based on what you were just talking about, overall percentage on the kill and league rankings, like you could say, okay, well, they played a lot, but how impactful were they? You know, were they on the good side? Were they killing most of them? And then it was the secondary group that was always getting scored on. And there's a way to show that. We can get into it. But again, I don't know if the preseason right now is the time.
No.
But Samuelsson wasn't playing. Clifton is gone. And Byram would have been the next defenseman. And he's skating today. And, you know, as Lindy Ruff suggested yesterday, like maybe he plays on Friday. Now I think you might go with the bubble route option like you were talking about and not play him at all. And then Owen Power was the fourth defenseman as far as time on ice on the kill. And he too was not playing last night. So I think with the turnover on the blue line and now the injuries, I think this is a super valid question as far as who should be your guys when healthy to start the penalty kill.
So you look around the National Hockey League last season, and the defenseman with the most ice time shorthanded, number one was Esa Lindell in Dallas, then Mike Madison, Montreal, Gavrikov, Fervari, Mikey Anderson, David Savard, Ian Cole, Slavin, Sergachev. Like there's guys that have, you know when you go on a penalty kill, they're jumping. They're first off the bench. They know they're there. And I, other than Darlene, but even Darlene, I'm like, should that be his role? Mm-hmm. Should that be his role to be the first defenseman off the bench? My thinking would be Kesselring. Now that I'm like putting it all together, I'd say Michael Kesselring would be my go-to. Mm-hmm. And if he's out there for a minute 25 of a two-minute penalty kill, I'm fine with it. But I don't have enough tape on Michael Kesselring personally to say that's the guy. Like Matias
Samuelsson. He did not kill last year for Utah.
He did not.
In the absence of their top defenders to start the year outside of Sergachev, and which is what allowed Kesselring to have a full season and then be, you know, desired by other teams. And obviously Buffalo picked him up. I mean, he played less than half a minute per game on the penalty kill. That is usually kind of like the late last shift. You've killed off most of it, that kind of stuff, right? That's how you land on that kind of time on ice per kill in a game. And it's understandable because Kesselring was not a super established NHLer, right? So, so I think you're right. I think instinctively people would want to give Kesselring the room here to establish himself in different ways than Darlene, Byram, and Power as a presence, right? All situations, but mostly even strength and perhaps PK.
And I also think like the next, maybe if you say, okay, Kesselring, he may be needed for other things. And I he's not a power play guy. So if you're not a power play guy, you're going to be penalty kill guy. You're going to be 5-on-5 penalty kill.
Yeah.
I think Matias Samuelsson was the obvious choice probably because you're like, he's big, he's tall, he's lanky. He has gotten himself, you know, blocking shots, but he's also gotten hurt. I don't know if that's in his mind right now. Like, every time I block a shot, I get hurt. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot there. Some guys, it affects them. Some guys, it doesn't. And then it's Connor Timmins. And I'm like, could Connor Timmins come in and kill penalties? And on the second power play goal, when he backed out in the high slot, If it had just been Connor Timmins backing out in the high slot, I would be like, oh, he'd...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Didn't understand what he was supposed to do, but Darlene did the same thing on the first power play goal. So I'm thinking, was that what they were being taught to do? Mm-hmm. Like to be careful with the bumper guy, but you open the lane to the net. So I'm going to have to pay closer attention to Connor Timmins, but technically Darlene, Power, and Byram are going to be your power play guys. So that leaves you with Kesselring, Samuelson, and Timmins if and when everybody's healthy to be your penalty kill guys. So, and Darlene would obviously be in the penalty kill as well.
So do you feel like, based on the injuries, do you feel like the Sabres know ideally who they want? Or are they unsure because of the limited viewings here in the preseason?
I think there's a lot of uncertainty right now when you think of next Thursday, what is our penalty kill going to look like on the back end? You may have to lean on Darlene a little bit more to get more minutes on the penalty kill, which means, I mean, what did he play yesterday? I think he was at 27 minutes. Why? Because you didn't have Kesselring in the third period and, you're playing with Mertka and so he played a ton and I don't want to see Darlene play 27 minutes of the preseason game, but it's almost like you had no choice. So again, do you want to play Darlene 27, 28, 29 minutes right away at the start of the year? You may have to. That may be what Lindy Ruff's going to have to resolve to.
He also, the captain, had 12 shot attempts last night, including his goal. And you know, a lot of that came, or opportunity for that came on the power play, which didn't connect. Do you want to quickly put a bow? Oh, sorry. It connected on his individual rush. But in the in the earlier stages of the game, when it was close, Pittsburgh was winning the special team battle. Buffalo was not, based on their lack of power play success. What is your
take? But I felt like they had chances, right?
They did,
we highlighted Tage Thompson's one-timer on the first and second power plays and the plays coming from the goal line. I did feel like they had some really good looks. So to me, I was more encouraged by the power play and their looks than I was by seeing the penalty kill and the trouble that they were having in their positioning. So the power play, look, scoring goals, I think the Sabres are going to score plenty of goals this year. I think the power play is going to get plenty of good looks and success. It's not going to come down to it. It's not going to come down to the power play and scoring goals. It's going to come down to the other end of the ice.
Well, just a quick update from practice that's ongoing right now. We mentioned Byram being out there. Up front, Benson is not. And as you would expect, Lukanen in goal is not out there. Kesselring, not out there. Power, not out there. But was, you know, around in shorts, sweatshirt, sneakers, that kind of thing. and obviously Samuelson's week to week, so you're not going to have him in this daily update per se. The group seemingly, from captain to coach and others, was trying to be glass three quarters full, I think, at least in the post game last night. When you wake up a day later, like how do you, and now that you have a little bit of evidence of who's on and who's not, I mean, what do you think at this point in time for next week?
See, Benson, I thought Krebs filled in really nicely on the top line last night. Like if there was one guy that I'm like, okay, he was put in a position to play an elevated role. Mm-hmm. And I really was having my doubt as to how that was going to respond. I thought Krebs did well on the left side with Norris and Thompson. And if you have Benson, great. If you don't have Benson, Norris and Thompson are a duo. They're going to be fine together. I think up front, you're okay. I think up front with the McLeod, Tuck, and Zucker line, you're good. Cooley, Quinn, Doan line, you're good. Whoever's going to fill in on the fourth line, you're going to be fine up front. And this will be weird. And Steve asked this question on X. He says, well, if UPL is not ready long term, do you go Lyon and Georgiev, or do you go Levi or Lyon? And what do you do? I'm fine with Lyon and Georgiev. Look, Georgiev was okay yesterday. It wasn't a start. There's a lot going on. It's preseason. Mm-hmm. Lyon has looked good in preseason and in practice. I'm okay with Lyon and Georgiev. I don't know who I would pick right now to start next Thursday, but I'm okay with that. I am not okay with the bodies on the back end that are missing. I am not, because that is, to me, the point of emphasis all summer. We have to be better defensively. We have to be better on our group on the blue line. We acquired Michael Kesselring. We're hoping Samuelson is going to be giving us the boost that we need. You go and get Connor Timmins. Bryson Mertka. Like, Mertka has been great, and he's 18 years old. Last night, he had a rough night. Like,
good. Let's try to reserve I don't know if you're hearing me today. Great is to be reserved for later. He's been good.
He's been good, but last night was a tough night, and that's fine. Yeah. I'm okay. Like, you know, he was going to play with Bryson, and it was going to be a bit of a difference in what it is. Maybe Ryan Johnson has to step up. He made a nice play on the first Norse goal, that bank pass off the wall to Krebs. But that's, to me, the puzzle is not really fitting as well on the blue line right now as it is up front and even in net, even though you're missing a piece.
TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger makes his season debut with us at the bottom of the hour here on Sabres Live. We continue to discuss the ongoing evolution of this roster to its conclusion of the preseason on Friday, and then how it could look on Thursday when the season begins against the New York Rangers. The list of injuries around the NHL is extremely long. There have also been some very significant signings since last we spoke with Darren Dreger. So there is a lot.
Which was when, by the way? When did we have Dregs on the show last?
Wow.
Would it have been July?
No, because I don't think he's around after free agency, right? It would have been June, yeah.
Maybe leading up to free agency, like the week before July 1.
Maybe,
After 3 months break, 3 months off, we're getting Dregs back. July, August, September.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think you're right about having a question in goal. Like, I think it's Alex Lyon to start like 100% and more.
I would tend to agree with you there, but it just, when the camp started and then they signed Georgiev and he's in practice, and I thought, well, Georgiev has looked good first game, right? They go into Columbus and he looked really well. Then Lyon, it was okay. But I do think Alex Lyon has carved himself a spot now where the guys love talking about him. He's obviously a good teammate, but he has looked really good in practice. And they've had a three-goalie rotation in practice. He had a big smile on talking to, assistant coach, goalie coach Mike Bills off to the side. Like, a lot of guys don't love having to rotate. Lyon's like, I'll get in when I get in. He seems to be perfect for what's been happening. But also, if you need him for first night starter, he'll be ready for that too.
Do you not carve out, to use, I think, what you just said, your role in a situation like this where the incumbent is hurt? Do you not carve that out on the first week of July when you sign a multi-year deal with the team? Like, to me, like, isn't that establishing a pecking order?
Yes. But for example, I signed a 2-year deal with the New York Rangers to be Lundqvist's backup. Mm-hmm. My first time around, I knew if something happened to Lundqvist, I was going to be the guy. I was a starter in Philly 2 years removed and whatever. But 2 years later, when I signed another 2-year deal to be, you know, with the New York Rangers for mm-hmm. 2 more years, and my mind seeing what else was happening and now my role being more as a backup goaltender, you play your 15 to 20 games. Mm-hmm. I kind of had a feeling like if something was to happen to Lundqvist, would they be looking for somebody to come in and play the main guy's role, or would I slide into that? I think it changes depending on how long you've been in that role and how long we've been with the team. And, you know, so.
And to that point, Levi has been here longer. And I'm sure that's where, you know, you're not going to get a consensus, but like a unanimous opinion here of who should be next man up in the crease if Luukkonen's not ready, because some would turn to Levi again. I'm sure of it.
I think that we've had a clear indication of what the plans for Levi was this year, mm-hmm. especially at the start with the team. He got a third period in the first 2 games against Columbus. He's been, you know, in Rochester. As soon as players were eligible to go to Rochester and start camp, he's been there. But, you know, we showed the schedule on the broadcast yesterday, the first 5 games, right? 4 at home. Mm-hmm. What happens is after the first 5 games, after the Florida game, you're on, you know, you're thinking about, oh, we have 4 games this week, Montreal, Detroit, Toronto, Toronto, and we're 1-4 and goaltending hasn't been good. Well, that could be your time to say, mm-hmm. hey, okay, let's call up Levi. But it's not going to be in the first 2 weeks. I can guarantee you that. Like, that's not the plan. The plan is Lions should be able to get it done. And if not, Georgiev should be able to get it done. And we'll get to there maybe later in the month if we have to.
Right. And that's a really good way to look at it. I was merely looking at it from, if you were to ask people on social, yeah. I'm sure you would get some trickling in comments of Levi just based on the fact that they see, and it's not that I don't, I just think, you know, it's reasonable for some people to see growth in Levi based on the year he had last year, which is what a lot of people were clamoring for, which is show me what you can do over the course of a full season in the American Hockey League. Well, he did that. And while he may seem on that path once again this year, injuries have a way of just kind of upsetting the old cart and, you know, causing you to have significant reevaluation of whatever position is being challenged by these injuries. So,
and your point to Lyon when he signed a 2-year deal, mm-hmm. 1.5 a year, it's backup, right? It's like we're seeing $2.5-3 million backups in the NHL. Like 1.5 is he's coming in for backup. But there was people on social and some fans that probably thought, you know what, Alex Lyon 3 years ago saved the Florida Panthers season, got them in the playoffs before Bob took over in the playoffs and they went to the final and then won consecutive cups. Alex Lyon was good in Detroit last year. I wouldn't be surprised if Lyon is given a bigger piece of the goaltending crease. So I think there was people that didn't just see the role of Lyon as a backup. They saw the role of Lyon of go ahead and compete. Try to take some starts away from Luukkonen, and that would mean you're doing good, and there's a reason why they're playing you.
Of course, beyond our updates from practice today, make sure you stay with Sabres Social for all the latest, and especially after practice when the comments come in from the coach and presuming updates again on what the lineup could look like tomorrow mm-hmm. in Pittsburgh, and that is the preseason finale. The regular season begins a week from today. KeyBank Center, October the 9th, the New York Rangers come in a 7 p.m. start, just to reiterate that, based on some of the opening week start times.
At 5? We're not starting at 5 on
And you know
Thursday.
What? Like, I need to, like, kind of reshape that narrative or whatever it is I'm on when it comes to that game. The only, like, I, Give me a million East games starting at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, like whatever. I'm happy. It's just the my only reason that I pick at this scab is it's the defending two-time Stanley Cup champions that are playing at 5 o'clock. That's it. Like, the Hawks deserve to play at 5 o'clock. Quite frankly, the Panthers do not deserve to be starting and raising a banner at that time. Anyway, is there a young Sabres fan in your life who would enjoy not only 5 p.m. games, but exclusive ticket offers, fun gifts, special event invites? Sign them up for the Sabres Kids Club today. Visit sabres.com/kidsclub to join in on all the fun this year. Oh, how the fun will continue with Darren Dreger from TSN next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.